we've been reading, studying the story, learning about God, and I've been using the image of God as a generous host. A God is a God who provides generously. The story of the Bible begins on the first pages, and it tells of God who created and blessed and created in abundance and gave to his people so much and in so many ways. But it doesn't take long in the story of the Bible for things to go wrong. It becomes rather a depressing story. So we have these God who created all these amazing things, and then the first human beings, they decide to take, and they begin to wonder. They begin to mistrust. They begin to wonder and doubt if God really is generous. So Adam and Eve, they turn from God and they take and question his goodness. And then their sons, Cain and Abel. Cain sees Abel and sees that seems as if God is favoring Abel. And so Cain kills him. And the story of the Bible continues. It talks about these sons of the Elohim who take. And then it talks in Genesis chapter 11 about the people who come together and they want to build for themselves and make for themselves a great name. They want to have all these things. And we begin to see this story that's gone terribly wrong. Last week I used an illustration that I borrowed. It pictured the story of the Bible as this incredible party where God has hosted this party and everyone's coming in and there's everything you could ever want. It's the ultimate Super Bowl party. Each and everything that you would want is there in abundance. But then at some point in the party, people begin to wonder. They begin to wonder if something's going to run out. They begin to look and say, that chocolate fountain looks like it's getting a little bit low. And so what starts to happen in the story of the Bible is people begin to take for themselves. And maybe they run off to the pool room or to the den or to the library with some of this. And they take and they hide it away. And the host of the party is looking around. God, the host of the party, is wondering what's gone wrong. What can he do to bring people back together? What can he do to get people to realize that there is an abundance, that there's not scarcity? And so in the story of the Bible, what he does is he finds somebody and says, I'm going to show you and help you, and I want you to remind everyone else who I am. And in the story of the Bible, God chooses a man named Abram, and later names him as Abraham, to become that person who will demonstrate and help people to know God's generosity and goodness. Now, this idea of generosity and God being a generous God is one theme, one thread that runs through the Bible. It's not the only one. It's not the only way to read the Bible. We can go back to those early pages of Genesis and see lots of different ways of understanding. But this is one way to see it. One way to understand that here's a theme that as we pay attention throughout the scripture, it's one of those themes that recurs. That God is this good and generous host. That there's a liturgy of abundance, as one scholar describes it, but we live by a myth of scarcity. That so much of the sin in the world, so much of what goes wrong in the world, is people looking and thinking there's not enough. And so they begin to take from others. They begin to see other people and think, if I don't grab for myself, if I don't get for myself, then I'm not going to have enough. And that's the story again and again. And God wants to remind us there is enough. And he does it in a strange way. Imagine if you had a child or you had a friend and you just kept giving them gifts and they kept abusing those gifts and they kept hiding them and hoarding them when you wanted them to distribute them. And they kept failing again and again. And then the solution to that is to give another gift. And this is what God does. Again and again and again. In response to people's selfishness, in response to their hoarding, in response to their myth of scarcity, they're living by scarcity, he gives a gift. And so he calls this family, this man named Abraham, and he says, I'm going to make you into a family. He says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And then down in verse 7, he says, to your offspring, I will give this land. So it's this picture of he's giving. And he's giving to Abraham so that through Abraham, other people will experience the blessing. And so he's thinking about that in this idea of giving and continuing to give. And so I want us to think about that in terms of another story that we read, the other passage from the Bible we read, to see what does it look like when it says that God gave gifts to Abraham so that they might be blessed. And then how might that apply to us? Because the last few weeks we've kind of been looking at it in big picture. We've been looking at God and generosity. And sometimes when we come to church, when we read our Bible, we're always looking for something to do with it. We're always looking and saying, oh, what? Okay, I've got this passage. Now, what does this mean for me? What am I supposed to do? And I would suggest that the Bible isn't always about something you need to do. Sometimes the Bible is just about something you need to know. It's just about realizing and understanding something. Because then we can turn the Bible into, if it's always about something we do, it can become a message of, I have to do these things in order to please God. So God's told me this thing, so now if I do this, God will be happy with me. But the story of the Bible is also told to help us simply understand what the world is like. To understand that God is this good and generous host, and to simply rest in that. So if you want to call that the thing to do, you can do that. But to simply rest and to understand that God is a good and generous host. But so God has called his people and he's blessed them and he's given to them. And he said, here, I give you these blessings so that all the people on earth will be blessed through you. And then we have this story, this passage we read from the letter to the Corinthians. 1,000+ years later. You say, well, how are those two connected? Well, let's set the stage first a little bit for what's going on in the city of Corinth. Corinth is this rich and wealthy city, sophisticated, it's filled with wealth. And Paul is writing to them about all kinds of things. But what he's writing to specifically in this part of the story is he's writing to them because the church in Jerusalem is going through hard times. We don't know what, but they're struggling. They need some support. They need some resources. And Paul is writing to them to help them and encourage them to give to this capital campaign, if you will, to support the church in Jerusalem. And so he writes to them. And he writes to them and he says, now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace God has given the Macedonian churches. So what Paul does, he says, hey, church in Corinth, we're doing a fundraiser. You guys get these letters in the mail all the time, don't you? Letters, emails, phone calls, saying, here's this great cause, I want you to give to it. And so Paul is doing that. He said, there's something going on. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ who are living in Jerusalem and they're going through hard times. And then he uses what we might see as kind of a modern day marketing technique. He says, I want you to hear about some other people who gave a bunch of other money. Because that's what the letters do sometimes too. They'll say, oh, and Bob gave money, and here's what happened, and here's this other person who donated money. Or sometimes in big capital campaigns, that's the wealthy challenge. They'll say, if you donate, you can get your name on the plaque up here, right? And it's an encouragement to say, look, other people are giving. Why don't you join in? So Paul says, look, the Macedonian church is giving. And in a way, Paul tries to shame the Corinthians a little bit because he says, the Macedonian church is giving. And they're not very wealthy to begin with. They don't have a lot of resources. They're not rich and wealthy like you. In fact, they're poor. But what I want you to pay attention to when Paul is talking about this is the way he talks about it. He says, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you, this is chapter 8, verse 1, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. And when you hear the word grace, what comes to mind? Typically, we think of grace in terms of sin and forgiveness. But grace is doing something else here. He says, we want you to know about the grace. And the Greek word charis, meaning grace, is the same word that means gift. It can be translated gift or grace. So we want you to know about the gift that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. All right. In the midst of a severe trial, they're going through a hard time, their overflowing joy. Wait a minute. How is their joy overflowing in the midst of severe trials? And not only that, their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Those two things don't seem to fit together very well either. If you were raising funds for a big drive, you had this vision of a new ministry you were starting, if you had a vision of this new corporation you were beginning, you were have a startup, and there are these corporate people out there who have all these ideas, and they go out and they want to begin this startup company. Where do you go looking for money? Do you go to a place filled with poverty? If you're doing a capital campaign, would you go to Haiti and go look and say, go just walk the streets of Haiti and say, hey, I'm doing this big startup and I'm looking for funding for it? Or would you go to New York City or to Los Angeles or to Seattle? You go where the money. But here, Paul says, their poverty welled up in rich generosity. So what's going on? He says, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. And so what we see happening is that what it talks about in verse 1, that it's the grace or the gift that God has given them. Because the people in Macedonia, they gave richly out of their poverty because they realized what they were giving was not their own, but was God's. It was God giving to them. So back to Abraham. And all nations on earth will be blessed through you. So God pours out his blessings on Abraham, but isn't so Abraham can kick back and enjoy. It's so that Abraham can receive those blessings, and in turn those blessings can be a blessing to others. And so this church in Macedonia is experiencing the same thing. They're receiving from God. They recognize that all that they have from God is gift, and therefore they're able to give. We often don't think of giving as a gift. We think of it as something we have to do, or maybe we're required to do, this good thing that we do. But Paul is saying that giving itself is a gift. And so the people in Macedonia have been given this gift. They've received a gift, and now in turn they are giving out of the riches that they have. And they realize, we didn't have time this morning, but we really have to read all of chapter 8 and chapter 9 to see all this. The end of chapter 9, Paul talks about it in these terms. He says, remember, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he's talking about giving. And then it says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread will also supply it, increase your store of seed. In other words, what Paul is saying is that everything we have comes from God. And the Macedonians recognize that. That's why their poverty was able to increase into generosity, because they realized that all that they had was a gift from God. Everything they had come from God, and it was flowing out of them. So now, what does that mean for us? How do we understand the things that we have? How do we begin to think about the things that we have? So, there's the little.
This one doesn't fit.
So I've seen sometimes in churches, these little envelopes, tithe, right? Someone will say, my tithe, right? I want you to stop and think about that just for a minute. What happens when you begin to say, I'm going to put my offering in the plate. I'm going to put my money in the plate. Wait a minute. That little pronoun in there, that little possessive, I and my, how does that begin to shape how we think about what we have? And even our language becomes that way, so what I have, what we have, my tithe. I want to suggest, what if we didn't think about it as my tithe? Well, what about it? Think about it as God's? Because if God is the generous host, and if God is the one who supplies the seed and supplies the bread, then everything that I have comes from God. So what happens? There's two ways of thinking. If I think that everything I have, if everything comes from me and from my hard work, what do I tend to do with my stuff? I tend to hoard it. I tend to hang on to it and to protect it because I've worked hard for this. But what instead if I saw everything that I have, all the resources that I have, as coming from God? And God has given it to me, not for me, but for others. And all of a sudden, it frees me up for generosity. I didn't bring my wallet. Anybody got five? No. If I were to walk up to you and hand you $100, say, give this away. Go give this to somebody. Is that easier than if I were to say, I want you to take $100 out of your wallet tomorrow and give it to somebody? Yeah, it's easier to spend someone else's money, right? And it's the same way with God. If it belongs to God, then doesn't it make it so much easier? Because I'm not giving away my stuff. I'm simply experiencing the grace that God has given. And that was what happened in this Macedonian church. I want you to tell you, look at that. Meditate on this verse some this week. He says, I want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian church. The grace he gave them was the ability to give because they began to recognize that what they had wasn't theirs. And so out of their poverty, it welled up in rich generosity. Because they saw it not as belonging to them, but as belonging to God. And so that's where we get this idea of, if God is the generous host and he gives to us, how do we begin to see our resources? How do we begin to see the things that we have? And we can do this at a personal level. We can think about, what are the things that I have? And if I begin to think of it as mine for me, we tend to hoard. We tend to see scarcity. But if I begin to see all that I have as gift from God, if I begin to see all that I have as gift, then it begins to open my hands. And we can say, this isn't mine, but God has given it to me to flow out in generosity. God has given it so that I might be a blessing. We can begin to look at it as at a church. If we begin to think about all the hard work we've done and all the things we've built and all these things, we begin to get this mentality. We've got to hang on to it. We have to protect it. But what instead if we begin to see all that exists here as these incredible resources and this richness and this wealth that God has poured out on us so that we can be a blessing? So if you were to sit and you were to begin to imagine, and you were to sit in an empty room, picture yourself in an empty room, and the room's kind of dark, and then it begins to light, and then you begin to see all the resources, all the things, all that God has given. I mean, look around. Sometimes we feel here at Fruitland Covenant Church, we look around and we say, we don't have much. We're just a little church. We're a small church with not a whole lot. Sometimes we struggle to find volunteers. Sometimes we struggle to pay. Okay, we always struggle to pay the budget, right? We struggle to do this. We struggle. We just don't have enough. We have more than enough. Because God is this good and generous. Look at all we have. I mean, if you walk around this bit, I mean, if you just take a look at the facilities, you look around and We have technology here. We have this huge gymnasium. We have this facility. We have a kitchen. We have all these things. We look around here and we see the gifts of the people that we hear. This generosity that God has poured out in this place. Not a place of scarcity. Not a place of shortage. Not a place of lack. But a place of abundance where God has poured out richly. But we need to step out of the mindset of scarcity. We need to step out of that mindset of saying, I don't know if there's enough. But we need to step into the mindset that embraced the Macedonian church, this mindset that God has given us, this mindset that allows us to well up in rich generosity, to look around and say, no, we're not poor, but the sower has sowed in abundance. And we need to be willing to take what we have been given, not to look at the churches down the street or around the country, not to open up the magazines or watch the television and say, wow, if only we had all that stuff that they have. God has given them what they have for what they're doing. God has given us what we have for what we are called to do. And the question is, do we believe that God has given us enough? And I think he has. He has given us what we need. And so what we are called to do is to sow in abundance. chapter 9 here. He says, remember this, whoever sows,
boy, trouble speaking this morning.
Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Paul's not mincing his words here. Listen to that. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So sometimes, a little bit, once in a while. No. God has given it. He said, they have freely scattered their gifts before, their righteousness endures forever. And so, friends, people, church, we have this incredible, generous host. We continue the legacy of Abraham and of the Macedonian church to recognize that we have a good and generous God, a God who gives in abundance. And we have to decide for ourselves and for us as individuals and for ourselves as a body, do we believe that God is good and generous and that he pours out gifts? Or are we going to live in a mindset of scarcity that says, I don't have enough. It's all mine and I'm going to hoard it. I'm going to protect it. Or are we going to recognize that God has given us abundance? Are we going to look around and not see the scarcity, but to see the abundance that God has poured out? I would invite us to open our eyes, to open our hearts, to open our hands, to open our minds, to see the goodness and the generosity that God has poured out on us as individuals and us as a congregation. And then out of that abundance, to allow that abundance, that generosity to flow out, to overflow, to pour out, to overwhelm. You read the stories of the Bible, and God doesn't ever skimp. God doesn't hold back. Jesus comes to a crowd, and they're hungry. And he doesn't pass out a little snack and say, okay, here's your little bag of goldfish. Here's your bag of goldfish. No, he pours out. And the story of the Bible says they ate until they were all full. And then when they were all full, there were baskets left over. And that's just one story. But the stories, again and again, are never of God saying, well, here's just a little bit. I hope it's enough. But God instead pours out in abundance. Can we see? Can we believe? Can we feel and know that abundance that God has poured out? And out of that abundance, to let that abundance, that generosity flow out to the world around us. To flow out, to overwhelm. It's not about the size of the gift. It's not about how much it is, but it's allowing the generosity of God to flow out from us to the world. Call to Abraham to be a blessing to all nations, to be a blessing to all, is the same call that is given to us. We have been blessed so we can be a blessing. May we know God's generosity and in turn be generous people, generous with the blessings that God has given to us.